you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, if you would please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapters 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians chapters 9 and 10. I'll remind you that this is a continuation of what Paul began to lay out in chapter 8. He's talking about some issues that were presented to him by folks in the Corinthian church, and he's telling them how to respond to these issues and how to walk in obedience to the Lord and in unity with one another. So continuing now in 1 Corinthians chapters 9 and 10, this is God's word. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I'm not an apostle to others, at least I am to you, because you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine me is this: don't we have the right to eat and drink? Don't we have the right to be accompanied by a believing wife like the other apostles, the Lord's brothers, and Cephas? Or do only Barnabas and I have no right to refrain from working? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and doesn't eat its fruit? Or who shepherds a flock and doesn't drink the milk from the flock? Am I saying this from a human perspective? Doesn't the law also say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, "Do not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain." Is God really concerned about oxen? Isn't he really saying it for our sake? Yes, this is written for our sake, because he who plows ought to plow in hope, and he who threshes should thresh in hope of sharing the crop. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it too much if we reap material benefits from you? If others have this right to receive benefits from you, don't we even more? Nevertheless, we have not made use of this right. Instead, we endure everything so that we will not hinder the gospel of Christ. Don't you know that those who perform the temple services eat the food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the offerings of the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should earn their living by the gospel. For my part, I've used none of these rights, nor have I written these things that they may be applied in my case. For it would be better for me to die than for anyone to deprive me of my boast. For if I preach the gospel, I have no reason to boast, because I am compelled to preach. And woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if unwillingly, I'm entrusted with a commission. What then is my reward? To preach the gospel and offer it free of charge and not make full use of my rights in the gospel. Although I am free from all and not anyone's slave, I have made myself a slave to everyone in order to win more people. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win Jews. To those under the law, like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, to win those under the law. To those who are without the law, like one without the law, though I am not without God's law, but under the law of Christ, to win those without the law. To the weak, I became weak in order to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that I may by every possible means save some. Now I do all this because of the gospel, so that I may share in the blessings. Don't you know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to win the prize. Now, everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. So I do not run like one who runs aimlessly or box like one beating the air. Instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, since they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, so that we will not desire evil things as they did. Do not become idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to party. Let us not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in a single day, 23,000 people died. Let us not test Christ as some of them did and were destroyed by snakes. And don't complain as some of them did and were killed by the destroyer. These things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our instruction on whom the ends of the ages have come. So whoever thinks he stands must be careful not to fall. No temptation has come upon you except what is common to humanity. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way out so that you may be able to bear it. So then, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I'm speaking as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I'm saying. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, since all of us share the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? What am I saying then? That food sacrificed to idols is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No. But I do say that what they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot share in the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or are we provoking the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything builds up. No one is to seek his own good, but the good of the other person. Eat everything that is sold in the meat market without raising questions for the sake of conscience, since the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. If any one of the unbelievers invites you over and you want to go, eat everything that is set before you without raising questions for the sake of conscience. But if someone says to you, this is food from a sacrifice, do not eat it, out of consideration for the one who told you and for the sake of conscience. I do not mean your own conscience, but the other person's. For why is my freedom judged by another person's conscience? If I partake with thanksgiving, why am I criticized because of something for which I give thanks? So, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or Greeks or the Church of God, just as I also try to please everyone in everything. not seeking my own benefit, but the benefit of many, so that they may be saved. Imitate me, as I also imitate Christ. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Chapter 9, Paul begins not by talking about food offered to idols. He's already dealt with that in chapter 8. He now uses a different illustration. And he says, I'm not calling you to a standard that I don't apply in every area of life. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Haven't I seen Jesus? You, if anybody recognizes me as an apostle, Paul says to the Corinthians, you should. But he says, we have a right to do what the other apostles do. Take a believing wife with us on the trip, all expenses paid. Be dependent upon those to whom we preach for our financial support. He says, that's legit. And he uses examples from everyday life. The guy who plows the field, etc., talks about the Old Testament law as codifying this. This was a law God gave that you don't muzzle the ox while it's treading out the grain. Why? Because it's cruel. If the ox is going to be treading out the grain, he ought to get to eat. And he says, do you really think that that principle only applies to oxen? God's concern was not just for the oxen, though God cares about even a sparrow that falls to the ground. God's concern was that his people understand kindness, not cruelty. Okay? God tells us we should support those who work, not just clergy, but definitely including clergy. I grew up as the son of a pastor, and I'm telling you, I never wanted to be a pastor. It is not easy. Now, I've had a very blessed life. God's been good and kind to me. I'm very thankful for that. But I want you to know there are a lot of pastors who really struggle financially, because somehow people feel like the pastor shouldn't make as much money. Some people feel that the pastor shouldn't make as much money as they do. Okay? They need to keep the pastor under their thumb. I have not struggled with this. As I say, God has been very kind to me. But I want you to understand there are a lot of churches that don't get it. It is not the congregation's job to keep the preacher poor. Again, I'm not saying this for my benefit, because I'm doing fine. I'm glad that at the ranch, I've been able for years now, through the generosity of others, not through my having to be a tent maker, mercifully. I would hate to have to sleep in a tent that I made. But the fact is, I've been able, because of having a separate ministry that supports me, to not take a normal paycheck from the ranch. I'm thankful since 1997. But I will say this. I shared with my board, one of these days I may die. The next executive director of the ranch will probably need to be paid. Now, why is this brought up? I'm bringing it up for the same reason Paul brought it up, and that is, as Christians, it is a good thing not to insist on what we're entitled to. Paul says, I want to use my example so that you'll follow my example, understanding that I have repeatedly, in various areas of life, whether it's having a wife travel with me or whether it is being paid, I have set aside my rights in order to reach people with the gospel. That's the point of chapter 9. He says, I've used none of these rites, verse 15, nor have I written these things that they may be applied in my case. He says, I'm not writing this to you so that now you'll start paying me more. I'm certainly not speaking to my ranch board or to my chapel congregation here at Covenant saying, now, from now on, I want you to straighten this out because I need more money. I don't need more money. I don't need more money. God has been so kind and so generous to me. My supporters have been so kind and generous. My board has been so kind and generous. I'm fine. Thank you very much. I'm not saying it for that. I'm saying it because if you think you have a right to something, I won't argue with you. The question is, can you lay that down? Can you lay it down and realize, I don't need to exercise that right. I don't need to insist on what I'm entitled to. If Jesus had done that, he never would have died on the cross. He never would have come to earth. He didn't have a debt. We did. Jesus laid aside his rights. And when he was about to go to the cross, and he knew he was about to go to the cross, Jesus took off his outer garments and wrapped himself with a towel and washed his disciples' feet. Why? He had a right to demand that they wash his feet, but he didn't. He said, do you see what I've done for you? This is the way you're supposed to treat each other. Lay down your rights. Don't insist on what you're entitled to. So, having made that argument, Paul then says, run in such a way as to win the prize. Do you understand that there is a race going on in your life? Everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. And so, verse 27, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Paul says, I don't want to tell everybody else what to do and not do it myself. I'm running in such a way as to win the race. And that takes discipline. Chapter 10, he reminds them of Israel's history and the fact that there were all kinds of people who outwardly participated in the presence and the blessing of God. He says, when they drank from that rock was Christ. That was a picture of Christ. And when Jesus provided for them in the wilderness and they experienced great blessing from God, it didn't save them. It didn't save them. Now these things took place, chapter 10, verse 6, as examples for us, so that we will not desire evil things as they did. Don't become idolaters as some of them were. Let us not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. Let us not test Christ as some of them did, and don't complain as some of them did. These things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our instruction on whom the ends of the ages have come. What happened to those who had gone through the Red Sea, who had tasted the water that came from the rock that was a picture of Christ, smitten for us? What happened to them? Well, in a single day, 23,000 people died. There were a whole bunch of others on another occasion destroyed by snakes. There were others who were killed by the destroyer. These things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our instruction. So, whoever thinks he stands must be careful not to fall. No temptation has come upon you except what is common to humanity. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, he will also provide a way out so that you may be able to bear it. Take the way out. Get away from temptation. Flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. So then, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I'm speaking to you as sensible people. It's not that idols are anything or that food sacrificed to idols, verse 19, is anything. But what is sacrificed to them is sacrificed to demons, and I don't want you to be participants with demons. You can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You can't share in the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or are we provoking the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Well, no, wait a minute. I thought back in chapter 8, it seemed like eating food offered to idols was not a big deal. And now here he's saying, flee from idolatry. If you can eat that food and have nothing to do with idolatry, it's perfectly fine. But if you think because you can eat that food, I guess idolatry is not such a big deal. I guess it really doesn't matter that much if people do this because maybe we're all just following different paths to God. He says, no, what they're doing is not offering something to God. It's offering it to demons, even if they don't know that. Don't think that all religions are basically the same. They're not. There is one way to the Father, and it's through Jesus Christ. But even though everything's permissible, not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything builds up. No one is to seek his own good, but the good of the other person. You should be looking not for your own interests, but for the good of the other person. If you approach life in terms of what can I get away with, you're going to end up not only in a disaster yourself, but causing other people whose blood will be on your hands to engage in disastrous mistakes. So, verse 25 of chapter 10. Eat everything sold in the meat market without raising questions for the sake of conscience, since the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. You don't need to be worried about what, you know, is this okay? Was this chicken happy before it died? I want to be sure as a free range. I heard a comic the other day saying, I don't want to eat a free range chicken. I want one that was eager to die. You know, just think about it. The poor chicken that's out there free ranging, he thinks he's got a bright future. And all of a sudden somebody comes along and kills him. He said, I want the waiter to come and say, and you'll be happy to know this chicken killed itself. You know, now he's joking, of course. But Paul's saying, stop worrying about what you eat. Don't obsess over where did this come from. I want to be sure this wasn't at all involved in idolatry. You need to flee from idolatry, but that doesn't mean you've got to be paranoid in the grocery market. It's okay. Eat it without raising questions of conscience. And if some unbeliever invites you to their home, don't worry about it. Well, what if their food came from an idol temple? No, don't worry about it. But if you're sitting there in the home with them at the table and somebody says to you, this meat was offered to an idol, then don't eat it. Why? Because they wouldn't have told you that if they understood what you understand. If they understood that an idol is nothing, they wouldn't have brought up the fact that this meat was offered to an idol. So if they haven't got that straight, you don't want to eat that meat, because you don't want to trip them up, not because of your conscience. Your conscience should be totally clear. You should know idols are nothing. I don't have to be afraid of them. I've told the story before, but our friend Travis Sawyer in Kenya, whom our church supports, great guy doing a great work, feeding hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people right now because Kenya's locked down and the people in his area have no way of earning money in order to be able to get food. So he's been going with the support of other people and buying groceries, buying produce, and bringing it back and bagging it up. And I mean, they spend all week getting ready for the food distribution. Now, he was visiting a guy he'd done business with years ago, and the fellow was a Hindu. And he invited Travis to have a meal with him, and Travis accepted. And The guy opened basically a storage container, and inside it was decorated to the nines. That's where the table was set up, and at the end of the storage container was a Hindu shrine that this guy had paid to have built, and it had all these Hindu idols in it. Well, I know Christians who couldn't eat there. You know, it'd be like, oh, this is some kind of holy place. No, it's not a holy place. It's a storage container that's had a bunch of money dumped into it. And but those are Hindu gods. No, those are statues of Hindu gods. But there are demons behind the idols. That doesn't mean they're crouching down in the storage container. Okay? So Travis enjoyed the meal, and then he said to his host, I'd like to get a picture of us here in front of the statues. And the guy said, oh, I don't know that we can do that. And Travis said, why not? And he said, well, I don't know if they would approve. And Travis said, well, why don't you ask them? And the guy said, well, because they don't answer. And Travis said, exactly. And I want to tell you about the God who answers. He hears and he answers prayer. Why? Because those are inanimate objects, and I serve the living God. That's the way Christians are supposed to be thinking. That's why you eat a meal with somebody who's an idolater. It's not because you're kind of leaning toward idolatry or because you think idolatry is no big deal. Idolatry is a demonic trap. And don't forget, greed is idolatry. But Paul says, if somebody raises the issue, then just don't eat it. So whatever, verse 31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or Greeks or the church of God, just as I also try to please everyone in everything, not seeking my own benefit, but the benefit of many, so that they may be saved. That's the purpose. Is that what you're living for? Is that how you arrange your budget? Is that how you arrange your schedule? Is that your goal? Paul made tents for a living. How is that spiritual? Because it enabled him to preach the gospel without charge. We want to give away the life-giving news of Jesus. And my goal is that if you don't know him, you'll trust him. You may be a deeply religious person who's trusting in your deeply religious beliefs and conduct. I'm sorry, please repent and believe the good news. He died to save people like you and me, and I beg you to trust in him and in him alone. And if you do, if you're trusting in Jesus, then you don't have to worry about the future. You don't have to worry about the past. And you certainly don't have to be worried in the present. But you do need to learn to lay aside your rights. Instead of saying, well, I'm entitled to this, say, what would be the best strategy for reaching these people? How can I most effectively share the good news with them? Because folks, that's what it's about. That's why we're here. Say, well, I'm not claiming to be the Apostle Paul. Well, the first verse of chapter 11 says, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. See, when Paul laid aside his rights, he was just following in the footsteps of Jesus. And that's what you and I are to do. Follow me as I follow Christ.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.